thanks again for joining us this year. As you have already heard, we are taking some time to remember, lest we forget. You know, in this room, you can't see who's here, but we have a veteran who is here who has served us over the years, and maybe in the room that you're in right now, there's a veteran, and I would encourage you to take a moment to say thank you. Maybe you are a veteran. Maybe you're currently serving. We want to say thank you so much for what it is that you do and what you sacrifice as well on our behalf in order for us to have freedom. Just one announcement I want to make mention of. The office this week for the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, will be closed. If you're needing to get a hold of us, we'll get back to you promptly on Thursday morning. Well, Connie, I want to say thanks for sharing your stories. Your story is one of many stories of terror and tyranny. And it's sadly a part of the human existence where power and might, wrongly apportioned, rather than being used to serve and bless those who are less fortunate, maybe who don't have any power or any ability to stand up for themselves. We live in a world where there are mean-spirited, tyrannical movements, and they will continue. And they'll continue truly until hearts are healed and to where peace is sought. In the meantime, we live in an era where men and women, at their own risk and with selfless abandon, have stood at a wall, have been at a gate, have held back, if you like, the oppression, or maybe they have stood there in order to maintain and or establish, maybe reestablish, freedom and democracy. For those who can't and maybe don't have a voice, for you and for me, we remember lest we forget. Now on the pre-service chat, if you were able to take that in, you would have heard Jack and I talking. We were at the Air BC Museum just over here at the Papé Airport. And one of the things that Jack let me know about that I was unaware of was the role that the Papé Airport had played in a nationwide training regimen for the Allied pilots in the Second World War. 10,000 personnel passed through the Papé Airport in their training for the Allied pilots, for the Allied Air Force. Now, on the grounds of the Papé Airport, you can come across this memorial. This is just up on Hospital Hill. It's kind of up on the top and overlooks, as you look, I think it's about a southwest sort of angle. And this memorial is called the Lost Airmen of the Empire. And it represents 179 people who perished, who died, who were in training while at the Papé training base, never got overseas, but were a part of the team that was standing in the gap, was defending freedoms around the world. Now, one day on October 30th, in 1942, four of those planes, Jack mentioned it, the yellow ones that were just sitting in behind us, the Avro Anson's planes, were heading off for a training mission, and four of them headed off. They headed out across Juan de Fuca Strait and out over the Olympic Mountains. They turned around and were coming back on their usual course, but only three of the planes arrived back. And yet in the spring of 2014, deep in the bush on the west coast of the island, at a remote logging site, they discovered the wreckage of the plane lodged in the midst of all the forest. If you can imagine how much would have grown up over the 70 years or so. fuselage, parts of the plane, and truly human remains were discovered. Three men from England, Robert Lecoq, Charles Fox, Anthony Lawrence, and an airman, William Byrd, from Brooks, Alberta. It was discovered, and on November 10th, 2014, at Royal Oak Cemetery, just close by here, the families of these lost ones were able to put to rest the remains of their loved ones. We remember, lest we forget. Now, today I remember and I'm hopeful that although nations will rise and fall, leaders, regimes, both good and bad, will come and go, but Jesus will never leave us. That Jesus is not absent, that God is still on the throne. And I'm hopeful that through the various seasons of life, that you and I will recognize and understand that He is available to each of us, to every one of us who is willing to call out, to seek, to reach out and follow after Him. Now, if you've got a Bible with you there, or a smartphone or something with the Bible on it, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 25. We've been going through the Psalms and recognizing some laments and some of the patterns of lament, and when people are facing hard and difficult times, how they have kind of journeyed through it. And we've been grateful for the Scriptures and what they have said. Now, David states his position, if you like, his foundation, his unshakable, unbreakable, sort of his go, no-go statement, something that guided his life. And it's right there in verse 1, Psalm 25, verse 1. In you, Lord, and again, notice, my God. Not a God. Oh, he is a God. But David wanted us to know, no, he is my God. I put, again, my trust. I'm hopeful today that you and I can make this same statement. We can do this. We can have this same sense of purpose and statement and foundation that David had. Now listen, David had a ton of baggage. There were so many things that David had done in his life. He had run for his very life. He had had someone who was pursuing him that was going to murder him. He'd lived under tremendous pressure. When he was younger, his EQ was a little low. He didn't quite know how to interact with his brothers, and God was calling him into some specific things, and yet David didn't really know how to interact with his brothers on it. He had an opportunity and experience where he felled a giant, someone who was terrorizing the nation of Israel. He said and did some very hurtful things. Frankly, some what we might just call, David, that was stupid. But then also some horrendous and tragic things. He was a part of a plot to murder someone, and that plot was seen to the end. I love this statement. So this, David, again, remember, I put my trust in my God. I trust you. I love this statement now in verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, our good. That is so powerful. Don't remember all the stupidity. Don't remember all those hurtful, harmful, those shameful things maybe that I've done. And David had a list. He goes, no, God, I need to be remembered according to your love. For you are Lord, and you are good. That's a significant statement. That's a really intelligent thing that David has done. David has recognized that in and of himself, he's in trouble. He realized what he had done. He was recognizing the problem. He realized, no, in and of my, I need to be seen through God's eyes. I need to be seen according to his love. For he is the Lord, and he is good. Powerful statement that David's making. He's kind of saying, it's all you, God. Jesus, you know, all of my offerings and attempts to sort of prop myself up and my goodness, if you like, and my status, those things just aren't going to work. I recognize that now. No, I need to be seen according to your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. I love that. And I don't know about you, but I need that. How about you? Do you need that? I mean, I think if we're honest, we recognize that we need this. There are own ways. They're not going to make it. Our own best attempts at sort of presenting ourselves as being good and great and wonderful, we fall short. And so David states, in God I put my trust, my God, I trust in him. And then he sort of surrenders his life in another way, and he says, no, God, don't remember me for my past, all those things. Like, please, God, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need to be seen through your eyes. Why? Because, God, you are good. Can you imagine how life would change when we recognize and realize that we are validated, that we are acknowledged, that we are loved by the Creator, saving, freedom-giving God, Jesus, self-sacrificing, life-giving God, that He just loves us. He values us. Can you imagine when we no longer had to go around trying to prove ourselves to everybody, to make sure that everybody understood every word that we said, to make sure that everybody liked the things that we did, like just that tiring, relentless pattern of trying to prove ourselves, if we could get to the place where we recognize that we have a God who loves us according to his grace and his mercy. When we're not constantly needing the peer approval, if you like. Maybe that approval from our spouse or our coworker or our sibling or some sort of human validation. Listen, all of that is wonderful. And I hope and would pray that you would be able to experience that. But if that's where you are seeking your ultimate validation, you're never quite going to make it. You're always going to be longing deep within your heart. You're going to say things, do things. You're going to have memories. We need to be seen. Seen and remembered by our God. Why? Because he is good. And he offers us grace. And he offers us mercy. And he offers us forgiveness. So David, he's placed his trust, his confidence in God. He's asked for God's amazing mercy to be the lens through which God sees him. And he now transitions and he petitions God, if you like. He comes out to God and he's asking God for this soul-healing presence. We see this in verses 16 through 21. David writes these words, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Don't let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you." I'm hopeful because of the grace of my God. See, he sees me, and he knows me. He knows my affliction. He knows the troubles and the ache that's in my heart. And David is crying out, "God, would you free me from that anguish?" God understands. Jesus can relate truthfully to the anguish within our hearts. Now listen, some of our stress, let's be honest, some of our stress is self-inflicted. Some of our stress are because of patterns of behavior and things that we've done. I mean, David understood that. And that's why he cried out, "God, don't remember me for my past rebellious way, for the things that I've accomplished, things that I have done. No, no, God, I need to be seen and remembered by you." Why? Because you are a good God. Some of this stress, some of the things that he is listing off here are things that he has brought upon himself, but some of the other things are other inflicted. There's hate, vengeance, and jealousy. Sometimes there's pettiness and competitiveness. Sometimes there's enemies within our existence. We don't have to just have to put on a uniform to battle some enemies, and David acknowledges that. And he gets to verse 20, he says, "Guard my life and you rescue me." Guard my life and rescue me. I take refuge in you. You see, I'm hopeful because as I read these stories and hear from men and women like David and what they have gone through, I see some of my life and what they're experiencing, and I recognize how I can't do it all on my own, and I see what they're saying, and they're going, "Listen, neither can we. We need God. If things are radically going to change, we need God. We need his graciousness to be upon us." Now, it's interesting. Did you catch verse 21? So he's gone on and he's made this surrendering statement in verse 1 and then this other statement, "No, no, really, I need you to see me through your lens, not my lens of all that I can do, because truly I'm messed up and I screw up and I've done some crazy and horrendous things. God, I need you to see me through your goodness." And he's made a great and powerful statement. But then just like you and I, we have a hard time just completely letting go. And you look here in verse 21, he says, may integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. And I'm like, you didn't need that first bit, David. Your integrity and your uprightness, that's wonderful and that's great. But just hope in the Lord. Please, hey, be full of integrity. Live an upright life. Can I ask you to do that for the betterment not only of your life, but for those around you? It would be amazing. But you don't need all of that to somehow prove to God and somehow appease God to the point where he loves you. You don't have to just do all of this stuff in order to have your hope. No, we have a hope given to us by grace and mercy through what he has done, not what we do. And as that starts to overwhelm us and take us on, we begin to live lives of integrity. We begin to live upright lives, but they're not what protects us. What protects us is our God. And therefore, we have hope. And so, I'm hopeful because I have a God who can see past my rebellious ways. I'm hopeful because we have a God who sees our world's rebellious ways, and he doesn't give up on it. And he wants to step in, and he wants to help. And he wants to offer us hope. And I'm hopeful because I can trust in him. Whether the days are great, or whether I might be in some days, some moments of affliction, of deep sorrow in my soul, in my heart. There might be distress within my lives, but I can still trust my God that he has not forsaken me. He's never left me. He is with me at all times. I'm hopeful that my hope is not based on me, but it's based on my God. And so in him, I trust. And I pray you as well. I just want to pray for a moment. God, thank you for this reminder. I'm thankful that because of what Jesus has done, that when he was on the cross and he looked out on the people who were present, and he was looking at them in that very moment, but he was looking at all of us, and he looked out and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. That you, Lord Jesus, came and you offered us a hope that was driven, if you like, by grace and mercy. It's not a hope that we necessarily deserve, but it's a hope and a recognizing that this God, Creator God, Savior God, freedom-giving God, freely offers your grace, your mercy, your hope, based on all of who you are and all of what you have done. And so we put our trust in you. God, I just lift those who have and are serving countries around the world who are standing in the gap, who are manning a wall. God, we would ask for your protection. God, we would pray for their family members, that you would meet them and be with them in their anxious moments, their times of just sort of personal affliction. God, that your Spirit would bring a peace to them, that would bring healings to their hearts. God, for those who are maybe struggling with PTSD through maybe experiences they've had, God, might they find and recognize and understand that you want to come and you want to bring healing to them. And so, God, may we be a people that learn to turn to you and to trust in you. You are our hope, and we thank you for that. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.